pray as we look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let me pray. Our gracious Father, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, you are the God who created all things, and you hold all things in your hand. And Father, now through your Son, you rule and reign in heaven for now and for all eternity. And Father, we know your great desire from the beginning of time is to call your people to yourself, to be part of your eternal kingdom, be part of your eternal home. And so, Father, this morning as we hear your voice, Father, move by your Spirit in our hearts that we will accept that invitation, knowing that you welcome us home, all that turn to your Lord, to the Lord Jesus, and trust in him. And so, Father, we pray as we do hear your voice this morning, work in our hearts, change us so that we may trust the Lord Jesus and not things of this world. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, I'm not sure you know, there is a race going on in the world. It's not a political race in India or US. We've had our own political race last weekend. It's not the cycle race in Italy. Or, for those motorheads out there, it's not the Grand Prix in Monaco today. It's a race that you probably wouldn't immediately think of. It's the race to build the tallest building in the world. It's a race for which city will claim that title of the tallest skyscraper. And Danielle's put that up, and you can see that the largest one at the moment is, I think it's Burj Khalifa. It's 2,722 feet high in Dubai. But you'll notice those images, there's 20 buildings that at one stage was the tallest building in the world. And you notice that each one after, just that little bit higher. Everyone trying to outdo themselves just to build something a little bit taller. But the race isn't over. There's another building. Before the one in Dubai was finished, there was one being built in Jeddah in Saudi Arabia. This is going to be 3,281 feet. That's a kilometre from Earth, reaching into the heavens. Where will the race end? Well, that's just a matter of engineering or the oil barons to fight over. Or is it? See, I think there is something within all of us that we want to build something. Maybe not the scale of a skyscraper. Maybe just a home. Or we want to build a business or a portfolio. Whatever it is, we like to build things, for it creates a sense of achievement. We learn that from a young age, don't we? At school, we have those school projects. We want to build something. Well, Mum and Dad probably build it. But we get that sense of achievement from the things that we build. Also, the reason why we like to build things is that it gives us, I think, a sense of security. It makes us feel strong and safe, and maybe to protect us from things of this world, or maybe we want to try and secure our future. We like to build things. Maybe we even like to build a name for ourselves that will last from generation to generation. And from that we gain a sense of significance, to see our name continued maybe well beyond when we leave. Maybe leave a legacy that people will see and know who we were when we were alive. But deep down, the reason why we like to build things for that sense of security and significance and maybe permanence is that we look at the world and nothing appears to be permanent at all. This was built in 1908. It's a Singer Tower in New York. 60 years later, they demolished it to build a building of only 730 feet. We build and then we demolish things. That only happened a couple of weeks ago in Philadelphia. We build and then we destroy things. But even our ancient buildings in time waste away and they crumble into sand. Nothing is permanent, is it? Even life itself, we will all die one day. Our own lives are fleeting and fragile. Nothing seems secure or permanent, does it? Yet we like to build things. Something bigger than ourselves, to build a legacy, a name for ourselves that may bring that security and significance. But what is it for you? As Samantha reminded us, we all want to build our own little kingdoms, don't we? Maybe it's a kingdom through your career. Maybe it's a kingdom of your reputation or an estate. We all like to build things for the future. So we have that sense of security, that sense of permanence that we can't find anywhere else. But I wonder how many people actually hit the mark. Build a name for themselves. This is the best picture of the Rockefeller Center I could find. You may recognize it. But how many people actually hit that mark where the name is up in lights, the name is on a building? Well, I think very few. But this idea of building a name is not new. This idea of building something is not new. It goes back to the beginning of the Bible when Adam and Eve, who instead of living for God's name, wanted to build a name for themselves. They wanted to make their own name great. See, Adam and Eve were to be part of God's building plan in the kingdom, in the garden. They were to subdue the world and to rule over it. They were to multiply, and all humanity was to live with God in His garden. To live under God in His loving rule, so that people would last forever. But in the pursuit of their own name, they rejected God's name. They rejected His rule, and we know that it ended in disaster. As sin and death enter the world, and the consequence now is that nothing lasts. That's why nothing lasts. Because Adam and Eve destroyed it all for us. As sin and death comes into the world, because they rejected God's rightful rule. Yet we still have that deep desire to build something, a legacy, but nothing is permanent. Everything will die, everything will be destroyed, nothing will last. But friends, God's purpose hasn't changed. See, His desire is to still to build His kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, for His people, to gather people from all nations, to be in His place, under His rule. A place that will last, where each one of us is invited, where we can find true security, where we'll find true significance, and we'll find true permanence. Forever. It's a place that nothing can destroy it. It's where life lives on forever. That's God's desire, and His invitation for us this morning is to be part of that kingdom. And we're going to see how we can be part of that kingdom as we look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. And up to this point in the Bible, in 2 Samuel 7, we've been waiting for the kingdom to be built, to see God's promises, His desire to be fulfilled. And we begin to see that fulfillment in our passage today as the desire to build something secure, to build something significant, grabs hold of King David. And if you haven't been here recently, as Hamant reminded us, we've been following the story of King David, which I'm sure you all know. King David's the guy who defeated Goliath, the giant. We use that language in our world today, don't we? It was a David and Goliath battle, so we know who King David is. Well, David is now king. He's anointed by God to lead His people. And he's to be a blessing to the nations. And he's to gather people to God and to finally see God's rule over all the earth. That's what David's on about. We heard that David set up his city in Jerusalem and now in verses 1 to 2, we find him sitting in a cedar palace. And he starts thinking about building something, just like we do. Now, if you're following on in your Bibles, I've got the passages up on the screen as well. And David says, "Here I am, living in a palace in a house of cedar, but the ark of God is still in a tent." Now, the ark is not Noah's ark. It's this box, as you can see. Now, this ark represented the presence and power and rule of God. It was a symbol of God dwelling with his people. Wherever God's people went, the ark went with him, and it reminded them that God, their God, was always with them. But we read it's just in a tent from Aldi. God's king is in a palace, but the ark of God is in a tent. And David's mind turns to something. Something's not quite right here. So David comes up with an idea for a new building project. He wants to design a suitable house for the Lord. He wants to build something that will last, not a tent, something that will last, a house for God. A house, as we see in the Bible, could also mean a temple or a dynasty. Just like the Queen is the Queen of England, but the House of Windsor, I think it is. So you get a picture here that David is building something for the Lord. But as we read in verse 5, there is a question that's going to hang over this passage for us. Is David the one to build this house, to build a temple for God? Is he the one? So what is David's motivation? Is he wanting to build something for his own name, like we do, or for God's name? See, the heart of the passage is what we've been talking about, this desire within us to build something, something secure and significant. But is David the one? You know, is he the promised king who would build a temple for God that would restore that picture in the garden of all humanity at rest with God? We see David at rest. Is he the one? Well, he looks like the guy. He's in his palace, and as I said, he's at rest. And it's right for David to be thinking about building things. That's the role of God's king. But is David's plan all about building his name or God's name? Now, up to this point, God has been moving around with his people, as I said, symbolised by the ark, but in a temporary place, a tent. So David wants something more secure, where God's name may be up in lights, something that will last. He wants to build a temple, a place for God, a permanent presence for God to dwell among his people and rule over them. I think David's thinking that God needs a bigger box. So the question comes in verse 5, are you the one to build me a house? And God is saying, I don't need a box. I need you to be living for my name, not for your name. As it is with all humanity, our purpose is to be living for God and his name, to live in obedience to God, which Adam and Eve failed to do, as we all do today. So God turns David's plans and its motives on its head. See, it's not David who will make God's name great, but God will make David's name great for his sake. See, God said, not once have I asked for a temple for my ark. See, we like to come up with ideas to impress God, don't we? We like telling God what to do and how he should be worshipped and how we are to approach God. We want to tell God what to do. But we see here that God is the one who has and is setting the agenda and how we are to relate to him, whether in David's time or even today. We're reminded that God sets the agenda of how we are to approach him. But the good news is that he does. He welcomes us. He wants us to approach him, but it was on his terms. So David thinks he's doing God a favour, but God reminds David his whole life is about God showing him one favour after another. We see in verses 8 to 10, as God, tell my servant, who does David think he is? No, he doesn't say that. No, God is gentle with David. He says, I took you from the pastures to tend my flock. I've been with you everywhere you've gone. I have cut off your enemies. I'll make your name great. I will provide a place for my people Israel and plant them so they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. What's the key word? I. God says to David, let me remind you who is doing who a favour here. God says, I'll establish a house. You want to build a house for me? I'm going to build your house. And God writes David's name in history, and here we are, 3,000 years later. God keeps his promises. We're talking about David. If you want to build something that lasts, be part of something that God is building. For that is the only thing that will last. For God is the builder, and he's faithful to his promises. Because he goes on in verse 12. God says to David, even though you will die, see, nothing's permanent. I will raise up for you an offspring and establish his kingdom. In verse 13, this coming son of David, God will build a house and establish his kingdom forever. A son who will build a house for God's name. See, God is building a name for David. It's going to come through his son. Well, if you know where the story goes, Solomon, David's son, eventually builds a house, a temple for God. And we start to think, is Solomon the one to build the house for God's name? Is he the one that's going to fulfill this promise? Well, he does build it. But as we keep on reading through the Bible and the story continues, in time that temple is destroyed. It seems to be a failure of David's offspring. Nothing is permanent. But we still have this promise of God of an everlasting kingdom for his name. There will be this son of David who will be the son of God. Then things take a really strange turn in this story. Look at verse 14. This son will be punished by man. Be flogged by men. This son of David that's going to build a house is going to be punished and flogged by men. It doesn't sound right. But even in his suffering, he will be God's beloved and chosen king. See, the forever king will endure his love. God's love will never be taken away as it was from Saul, the first king of Israel. For as God promises in verse 16, God's kingdom will endure forever because God is the builder. It's not David's plan, it's God's plan. And David hears the plan of God, and in this moment he does as the king should. And what we all should do, and all people should do, is to listen to God. See, rather than turning to his plans and his building projects, He lets go of his ambition of building a building plan and takes up God's plan. But as I said, it doesn't take long for things in David's life and reign to unravel. He and all Israel go from this moment of peace under God's rule to a rumble. David's dynasty falls apart. Israel falls apart. Solomon's temple is destroyed, and All Israel stops trusting God. So again, we're left waiting for the true king. We're waiting for God's promises to come true. But where will they come true? Where will this wise builder who will build something that will last, where will he come from? But we know God makes promises, he fulfills them. And those promises hang on who is the one who will be David's son, who will build a house for God's name. Where God loves his king because he is the true king. Where will that come? Well, here's a spoiler alert. It's no surprise, is it, that it's Jesus, the son of David. So when Jesus turns up, God's son, he picks up the idea of building a house that will last, that won't be destroyed. Now, who can remember their days from Sunday school? The wise man, built his house upon the rock. See, Jesus picks up this idea of building. And the wise builder builds a house that will last, a house that isn't a sandcastle, a house that will last, that is permanent, a house that is well built because it's built on the right foundation. But we also know that story, isn't there? There is a foolish builder in that story that builds something that won't last because it's washed away and it's destroyed. It dies. Why? It's built on the wrong foundation. The question is not so much, are we the wise or foolish builder, but is Jesus? And that's the question with David. We want someone in this story to build something that will last when the storms and floods of life come that won't be knocked over. Well, Jesus keeps going. Keeps reinforcing time and again about building projects. He goes on and tells a story about a farmer. It's up on the screen. Now, he finds himself in good times, in prosperous times, and he's resting like David, who's sitting back in his cedar palace and resting. Now, things are good for this farmer. He's built a wonderful farm. He's got lots of grain, an abundant harvest. But you notice that he's not satisfied. He's looking at building bigger barns that will set him up for life. He's looking for security so he can enjoy the good life, not just now, but well into the future. And I think he's looking for significance as well, so that he'll stand out from all the other farmers. Look how big my barns are. So I'll knock down the old barns and I'll build bigger barns where I can store all my surplus grains and take life easy. Isn't that what we all want? Bigger barns? So in the future we can enjoy life, eat and drink and be merry? Well, God appears and says to the farmer, "You're foolish. You're a fool. You are going to die tonight. None of your plans are going to last. You are a foolish builder. Nothing is permanent. Nothing lasts." He puts his trust in his own life. He puts his trust in the bigger and bigger barns. And we do the same thing, don't we? We turn to things in this world for security and significance. As Jesus says, friends, that's foolish. We build bigger barns, but none of that lasts. It will not provide us with true happiness. It's all fleeting. Because Jesus says you're building on the wrong foundation. And again, Jesus presses this point further. He hasn't given up his building idea yet. And neither am I. We're going to keep building. See, Jesus says if we look for security in things we build our life on, if they're things of this world, they will not last. Everything will fail and rust and be destroyed and died. In the last month or so, we've had two cars written off. We've replaced the washing machine, the dryer, the range hood. The dogs destroyed our lounge. Glad we love the dogs. And even this morning, I was having a cup of tea this morning, I thought the kettle was going to go. It's making a strange sound, just to boil a kettle. Nothing lasts. Nothing is permanent. Everything in this world just leads to frustration as we try and build bigger barns. But we still have God's promise, don't we? He's going to build a name. He's going to build a house that lasts forever. The answer is a heavenly building. It's a building that will last, and it's built on a foundation that will connect us to God. And we see that Jesus is the wise builder, the Son of David, the Son of God. Jesus is the forever King who steps into history. Jesus is the one who promises, that these promises to David find their fulfillment. As we see in 2 Samuel 14, he's the one who's flogged.
and suffered not for what he did, but what for you and I have done. Just like Adam and Eve rejected the name of God, we've all done that. We deserve what Jesus has done for us. He's the one who suffered and died on the cross. And this is the moment that Jesus establishes God's kingdom, providing a way for us all to be part of God's kingdom, his heavenly kingdom that lasts forever. He deals with our biggest problem, which is our rejection of God, our sin. And then Jesus is raised from the dead so that God's kingdom lasts forever. And we finally see the promises to David fulfilled in one person, in one moment. It's Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of God. To bring God's rule from heaven, to bring us to God. And Jesus is the foundation for the life that will last. See, if you look for security or significance in anything in this world, it's foolish. They will not last. They'll be destroyed. Everything dies. If things in this world are your building project that you're hoping will last, that leaves a legacy, that will make your name great, well, Jesus says you're foolish. They will not bring hope. They will not bring that desired rest that we all want. We all pursue after things in this world, don't we? But we just want more and more. It never satisfies. Maybe you have been missing coming to BAC for a while. It's great to have you back. But we've welcomed you back not to this building, but to hear God's welcome for you. God's welcome to all of us is that He is building and has built an eternal home for each one of us. A home that will not perish, destroy, or die. An eternal home. A kingdom that is built on a firm foundation of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's invitation to you is He wants to welcome you home. He wants you to stop chasing after things of this world. Those things that we're seeking security and significance in. Things that we think are permanent. But friends, they're not. There's one thing, actually, there's one person that will find security, significance, and permanence in. That's the Lord Jesus. And He invites you to put your trust in Him. Not things of this world. Put your trust in Him. And you'll find that your name is written in the book of life. A life that lasts for all eternity. So it's great to have everyone here. Great to welcome you back to this building. But know God's welcome for you this morning. He wants to welcome you home. An eternal home. That comes by putting your trust in Jesus who laid down his life for you. Will you pray with me? Gracious Father, we praise you and again thank you for your goodness to us in Lord Jesus. Father, we've been reminded again of your desire is to call people from all nations to gather to yourself. And Lord and Father, through the Lord Jesus, you are building an eternal home, an everlasting kingdom that will never destroy or fade or rust or die. And Father, we thank you that you're faithful to your promises, that anyone who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus, builds their life on his foundation, will not die, but will be part of your eternal kingdom now and forevermore. Father, we pray that we'll all respond to your welcome this morning to come home by trusting the Lord Jesus who laid down his life for us, who suffered and died on that cross and who was raised to life, an eternal life. So, Father, Lord, we thank you again for the Lord Jesus, For his name is the name above all names that lasts for all eternity. Amen.